A while ago, I gave a khutbah regarding the topic of femininity, and it became a bit of a controversy. One of the most common responses that I received from sisters was, "What about domestic violence? When are you going to talk about domestic violence?" And at first, I was a bit confused by that statement. You know, I'm talking about femininity, and then you want me to talk about domestic violence. I didn't see the connection, but slowly, you could say, read between the lines. And I understood that it seems that the sisters are essentially saying, yes, femininity is important, but femininity includes vulnerability. And the only way that we can be vulnerable, the only way we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable is if what? Is if we're not afraid, is if we feel secure and safe. And so therefore, you have to talk about this issue of domestic violence, which is a very fair request. And so to help better equip us, our sisters in particular, but even, of course, the men as well, for the sake of our daughters and sisters, we need to better equip ourselves to pay attention to the signs of abusive men. And so I'd like to break down four prototypes that you see that are quite prevalent. And this isn't an all-inclusive list, but still, these are some main qualities that you will find in abusive men. And they come in four prototypes. What is number one? Number one, well, different books have different names for this individual, but some call him Mr. Sensitive. Some call him the Clinger. Some will say the Parental Seeker. The names may vary, but the idea is still the same. This is an individual who seems great at first because he's highly emotional, very sweet, gives the woman a lot of attention, but then she soon realizes that he's extremely needy. He is a perpetual victim. He always is demanding more attention, and he gets jealous of anything else that she might give attention to because ultimately he feels that it is a form of rejection. He has very much low self-esteem. These men, they exist, unfortunately, in great numbers. And so they give, at first, the woman what she wants. Oh, look, he's so sweet and so sensitive and so kind. It seems so great. But then that sensitivity very quickly becomes neediness and becomes extremely dangerous and problematic. Why? Because this individual has never really grown up, kind of like a child seeking out a parental figure, always in need of reminders and motivation and a little push here and you can do it there. And basically, he's not standing up as a man. He's extremely low functioning. He always talks about the great plans that he has just around the corner. Oh, I'm planning on doing this and I have plans to do that. Nothing ever seems to be accomplished. It's always just around the corner, but he never actually gets anything done. He may be good with kids, but unfortunately that might be because he himself is a big kid himself. And that's not exactly a good thing. He gains sympathy from his, let's say, wife by doing what? By telling endless sob stories about all the different ways that the world has done him wrong, how he's been victimized by everybody and everything. And that if ever she leaves him, and if ever she gets mad at him, oh, you're just another one of the victims. You're just like all the rest. Somebody who's treating me badly. So this justifies his failures because his failures are never his own fault. It's always the world's fault that is treating him bad. Why is this man so dangerous? Because he can be extremely abusive from an emotional perspective, constantly demanding attention, but also from a financial perspective. Whatever savings that she may have, he's never working hard enough or serious enough or dedicated enough to be a provider, and therefore he slowly but surely drains her of her energy and of her wealth, and until there is nothing left. He taps into a woman's motherly instinct by acting like, you could say essentially, like her oldest child, quote unquote, acting like a big kid. But at the end of the day, our sisters need to remember, he is not a child. You're not marrying a project. You're not marrying a fixer-upper. If his mother didn't do a good enough job raising him, it's not your job to take over and fix him for her. That's not your position. Your job is to find somebody who actually was raised properly and knows how to be a man, and then you marry him, and so forth. He constantly puts himself down so that people will sympathize for him and therefore demands more and more reassurance. This is dependency. It is not love. And so we need to warn our sisters of men like this. And the question is, how do you avoid them? Well, subhanAllah, apply the sunnah. Apply the sunnah of the Prophet and look for a man who lives by the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We know that the Prophet ﷺ was a responsible, high-functioning, hard-working, serious person who didn't make excuses for himself and didn't feel bad for himself, constantly blaming others. The Prophet ﷺ was, in fact, the most successful individual in all of human history. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And more specifically, we have a number of narrations from Aisha radiallahu anha, who describes how in the household, he was not somebody like a large child in need of some sort of a mother figure. Rather, as Aisha says, كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He was in the service of his family. He was taking care of his household. He was making sure that he was a responsible individual serving his family. And she also says, يَخْصِفُ النَّعَلْ وَيَرْقَعُ الثَّوْبْ وَيَخِيطْ. That the Prophet ﷺ, he would mend his own sandals, patch his own garments, and he would sew. So subhanAllah, he would take care of household issues. I'm not saying that therefore men or women have no responsibilities in the household. I'm not going to the other extreme either. But what I'm saying is that as a man, you have to have some level of self-accountability and self-reliance. And this is what the Prophet's Sunnah teaches us. And so the second prototype that our sisters need to look out for after this hypersensitive man who is very weak and always blaming others. Oh, and by the way, just as a side point, it's very interesting to note the correlation between education and maturity. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, there's this theory that says that back long time ago when there was no standardized education system, a child would be considered a man when they go through puberty, right? And then once the education system was established, like, you know, you go through high school, then after high school, you're considered a man. So the age of becoming a man got pushed back a lot. Nowadays, it's considered standard to not just go through high school, but to get also a bachelor's and even a master's. And as a result of that, young men are considered only a real man at around those ages as well. It's amazing that it's like a double-edged sword. The benefit is that people are more educated. Well, I guess that's a good thing. But unfortunately, it delays your sense of responsibility when you become a man. Why? Well, I'm only in my late 20s, early 30s. I'm not really a man yet. SubhanAllah, you could have grandkids by now. I'm not encouraging it. I'm just saying it's possible. So subhanAllah, this is very scary. There's no shortage of these very weak, immature men. And this is why it's very important to recognize the signs and inshallah protect ourselves from getting involved, especially our, let's say, sisters or daughters getting involved in these type of men who are constantly making excuses, blaming others, and who are always extremely weak. The second type is the addict. SubhanAllah, the more and more you read about domestic violence, the more you thank Allah Ta'ala for this deen of Islam that protects us from addiction, both substance abuse and also, let's say, games and so forth. As Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسَرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَلْزَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah describes whether it be the physical intoxicants of, you know, alcohol and by extension drugs and so forth, whatever you ingest and take into your body, or whether it be addicting games like gambling and so forth, all these things are prohibited in Islam. And so therefore, if we stick to our deen, and the sisters are careful not to marry somebody who is not practicing in their deen, then alhamdulillah, this is not a guarantee, there's no guarantees in life, but it is a very good indication, and you are increasing your odds of finding a good man who is not addicted. And why is this important? Because from addiction, subhanAllah, so many evils follow, such as abuse. And so whether it be work problems, whether it be not being able to hold down a job, not being able to keep any savings, whether it be having the wrong type of friends, having the wrong type of influences, hanging out in the wrong circles, all of this can result from addiction to various substances like drugs and alcohol, or whether it be different games like gambling and so forth. So subhanAllah, this deen of Islam protects us and protects our sisters. If they stick to those who are practicing in their deen, inshallah ta'ala, they are much more likely to stay away from these evils, and may Allah protect us. And furthermore, with regards to this second category of the addict, we know that the addict often lives a double life. One life for the public, and then they have their, you could say, nightlife, where they enjoy their addictions. And what's amazing is that our deen protects us from nifaq, from hypocrisy, of being dhul wajhain, two-faced, of living a double life. And subhanAllah, there are countless ahadith and ayat that talk about nifaq. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ told us about how to pay attention and catch the munafiq so that you can distance yourself from these type of people. The Prophet ﷺ says what? Ayatul munafiqi thalathun. Idha haddatha kadhaba. Wa idha wa'ada akhlafa. Wa idha u'tumina khana. That the sign of the hypocrites are three. When they speak, they lie. When they promise, they break their promise. And when they're entrusted, they betray their trust. So pay close attention to see if somebody's living a double life. And inshallah ta'ala, you will soon discover. If you get to know not just them, but their background, their friends, and so forth, inshallah ta'ala, you discover if they have some sort of addictions, and these are a very clear precursor to being an abusive husband. Point number three is perhaps the most popular, the most well-known, the violent man. So in addition to the sensitive man and the addict, you have the straight-up angry or violent man. What are the signs to pay attention to so that you don't end up with somebody like this? What do we teach our daughters and our sisters to be careful of? Well, usually it doesn't start with physical violence immediately. It doesn't just start that way. You usually find, the more you read about this, the more you find out, subhanAllah, it's quite interesting, very sad, that it starts out with belittlement and insults. It seems to be the case that a violent man will test his boundaries, will start with insults and putting the sister down, chipping away at her self-esteem. And he will test to see, will she allow for this? Or will there be some sort of a reaction? And silence is acceptance to the violent mind. In other words, the violent mind, the violent person thinks, oh, there was no objection. She just took it and bore it with patience. Therefore, I can keep going. And he continuously pushes his boundaries until he works his way all the way up to violence. Now, how do we avoid this? And what, by the way, who do they seek out? What type of women do these men type seek out? They seek out the type of woman who has perhaps what you could call a victim mentality. In other words, some women, they think that this is normal. You know, things don't go well. That's the way life is. This is the way it is. This is normal. And so that these type of men, they seek out these type of women. Women that think that this is normal behavior. Why? Because then it justifies it and allows them to be the way they are. So as a man, how are men supposed to react when you are angry? Well, we're human beings, we're going to get angry at times. But the question is, if your wife does something that makes you upset, do you get upset at the action? Okay, that's reasonable. I don't like what you did, I'm upset at what you did. As long as you don't go overboard, you simply express your frustration, okay, you're mad at the action. But when you turn your attention away from the action and turn it to the person, and you are a this, 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 and say all kinds of demeaning, belittling, insulting things to chip away at her self-esteem, this is completely unacceptable and going overboard. You can get mad at the action because you're a human being. We're not robots that just, you know, never get upset. But there's a big difference between getting mad at what took place versus trying to tear down the human being from within. And this is what the violent person does to test their boundaries, to see how much can I tear her down. The more I can, then this, now I know, I can act violently as well. So yes, it starts with insults. And furthermore, the violent man is extremely controlling. Controlling about things that don't even make sense. Controlling regards to things that have no reason, just to exercise that control, to feel that strength over a woman. And furthermore, the violent man also is very erratic in his boundaries. You see, a good man will have certain boundaries. We'll say, listen, if you're within my boundaries, I'm happy. And if you cross those boundaries, I'll be upset. Seems reasonable. Everybody has boundaries. That's human. But the more you get to know this man, the more the boundaries become clear. And they don't change constantly. The goalpost isn't constantly shifting. Whereas the violent man, this dangerous man, he's the type of person where one day you do something, he's happy with it. The next day you do the same thing and he's upset. And these women who are in abusive relationships often describe themselves, I don't know when he's going to explode. I have no idea. It's like walking and you step on a landmine. You have no idea when the person's going to go off. So we have to ask ourselves, do we have clear boundaries or are our boundaries constantly shifting? This is what draws the distinction between a decent man versus an abusive one. And subhanAllah, regarding these four qualities, let's look to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. How beautiful. Number one, regarding insulting. The Prophet ﷺ said, what? لا تقبح. Don't insult your women. In an authentic hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud. Don't insult your women. Furthermore, Allah says what? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. That Allah says, oh, you who have believed, don't make fun of each other. You're not allowed to belittle and insult each other. Why? Because it could be that one of you is better than the other. You don't know who's better. So don't insult one another. So clearly from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, insulting is out. You want to get mad at something that somebody did? Okay. But you don't have to tear them down. And there's no excuse for insulting the person individually. Regarding being consistent with your boundaries, subhanAllah, Aisha, who better than the wife of the Prophet ﷺ to describe how the Prophet ﷺ was when it came to his boundaries? She says what? Wallahi,
من تقم لنفسه في شيء يؤتى إليه قط حتى تنتهك حرمات الله فينتقم لله.
That the Prophet, that she says, رضي الله عنها,
by Allah, he, the Prophet said, never took revenge for himself concerning any matter that was presented to him. But when Allah's limits were crossed, then he would take revenge for Allah's sake. In other words, when you cross the hudud, then the sharia is implemented.
So in other words, were the Prophet's boundaries constantly shifting? No. He wouldn't even get mad for his own sake.
The Prophet's boundaries were very clear. You cross them, there's going to be punishment. You know, certain like Islamic law. We know the laws of Islam.
However, you stay within, very clearly, there's going to be no problems. Consistency is the key.
And this is the quality of the Prophet. She said, look, he didn't get mad for his own sake. There were certain boundaries, and they were all very well defined, and they were all very consistent. It wasn't constantly shifting of the goalpost. Furthermore, regarding being overly controlling, the Prophet ﷺ was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدَّنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَا أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا.
Allah said what? O Prophet, say to your wives, if you should desire this worldly life and its adornments, then come, I will provide you and give you a gracious release. Does that sound like a controlling man? Allah is commanding his messenger. If they're not happy as wives in the relationship, you don't have to control, be harsh, be rough. Tell them, listen, if you're not happy, we will arrange for you to be provided for and you will have a beautiful release. No problem. You can come out of the relationship. This is clearly not the description of somebody who is hyper-controlling. And furthermore, regarding physical violence, again, the best person to describe it, Aisha radhiallahu anha, she says what?
ما ضرب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا قط بيده ولا امرأة ولا خادما إلا أن يجاهد في سبيل الله.
That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he never hit anybody, never struck anybody with his hand, neither a woman nor a servant, except in warfare. In the, obviously it's war, you fight. But the idea is that when it came to household issues, women, children, servants, never struck. This is upholding the Sunnah of the Prophet. So from all of these regards, what is the conclusion? If you pay attention to the Sunnah of the Prophet, and if our sisters and the fathers, we pay close attention to make sure that these suitors, these young men that want to get married, we make sure they're applying this Sunnah. There's no guarantees in life, but inshallah, you are increasing your chance of having a good man as opposed to a violent or dangerous one. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam kathira.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah.
The fourth prototype, after talking about the hypersensitive man, the addict and the violent man, we want to talk about the fourth prototype that is very dangerous, and this is the emotional predator. There are some men who are very manipulative and duplicitous. The emotional predator is the type of man who hunts women who are vulnerable, needy, perhaps bored, who have low self-esteem, who have weak boundaries, they feel lonely, perhaps they're on the rebound, perhaps they have been emotionally ignored or emotionally wounded in the past, and they want to take advantage of them. They pay close attention and figure out what type of qualities they have. They look for the type of woman who will ignore red flags, who perhaps comes from a family who normalizes abusive behavior, and the type of woman who will highlight the good qualities and ignore the dangerous qualities and overlook them. And ultimately, the type of woman who will say, I can change him, when in reality, you can't change him. This type of individual is an extremely skilled listener. He knows very well how to pay close attention to what the woman says, so he can take in all that information and then say, oh, really? You like this? Me too. This is a hobby of yours? Me too. And he will create and fake an entire persona revolving around her likes and interests so that she will feel, finally, I've met Mr. Right. He's the man of my dreams. Love at first sight, everything's perfect, and then he will trap her and then completely change and shift. He will be extremely romantic in the first few months of the relationship and then completely transform himself later to do whatever he wills. So the question is, how do we catch such a dangerous chameleon, this predator? Well, subhanAllah, again, you look to the Sunnah of the Prophet and it's truly incredible. The Prophet says what? لَا نِكَاحَ إِلَّا بِوَلِيٍّ. There is no marriage except with the wali. And the wali is usually the father, the guardian. Now, why is this important? Because the more you read about these abusive type of men, these dangerous type of chameleons, you know what they do? They specifically target women who have daddy issues. They know who's going to expose them.
They know who's going to catch them. They know that it's the father's job to do a background check to figure out, hey, wait, he just made up this whole persona that he's been to these countries or he's done these things or he's into these sports or he's into that. He's just making all this up to fit the qualities that you like. He's not actually like that at all. So it's the father who is not looking through rose-colored glasses, as they say. He's not looking at this guy through a romantic lens. He's looking at this guy with a very sharp gaze and paying close attention to who his background, who his friends are, family are, his history, and finding out that everything that he's presenting is actually fake. And because of that, when this type of a predator finds out that there's a father in the picture, he usually says, no, I can't, I'm not going to deal with that woman. Why? Because I'm going to get discovered. Men usually do the research, the wali, that's the job of the wali. So to me, it's fascinating that these type of predators, they know to only look for women who have daddy issues, cut off from their fathers, absentee fathers, etc. Those are the ones that are vulnerable. So subhanAllah, you apply the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you apply this hadith that there is no nikah illa bi wali, except with the guardian, and subhanAllah, you will reduce and cut out these men from our marriages, inshaAllah ta'ala. And furthermore, subhanAllah, we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he did not seek out women that were, like you could say, let's say weak in nature. We know that Khadija radiallahu anha was not a weak person, that Aisha radiallahu anha was not a weak person, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zainab bint Jahsh, she was not a weak person, and so on and so forth. That the Prophet did not seek this out. And so we need to be very careful, pay attention what type of man is looking at our women and what qualities he's paying attention to and what he's seeking in that. And so inshallah ta'ala, to conclude, I just want to remind all of us about a few ahadith with regards to our wives. I'm speaking mostly now to the men. Let's never forget that subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ says what? Beautiful advice. لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. That the Prophet ﷺ says what? That a believing man should never have hatred towards a believing woman. Why? Because if he dislikes one characteristic, there's another characteristic that he's going to like or that he's going to love or that he's going to be satisfied with. The idea is what? Don't expect perfection. Don't always look at the glass half empty instead of half full. Of course, our wives are human beings. They're going to do things that make us upset sometimes. It's not always going to be the honeymoon phase where everything is perfect. But you have an option. Am I going to just always focus on the negative and make it big in my mind? Or am I going to take a step back and say, first of all, of course she's not perfect, she's human. And I'm not perfect either. So let me take a look for a second at how much she has sacrificed and how much good she has done. Let me appreciate all of that first. And then say, you know what, because of that, I think I can overlook A, B, and C. I can overlook a few bad qualities. Number two, the Prophet says what? الرجل راعٍ في أهله ومسؤول عن رعيته. That a man is the leader of his family and is responsible for his flock. When your children throw a tantrum, do you throw a tantrum as well? When they start losing their temper, you lose your temper as well. If your wife goes out of line, are you going to go out of line as well? SubhanAllah, when you send your kids to school, if the kids act inappropriately, do you want the teacher to act inappropriately as well? No. In all of these cases, you expect the one who has that responsibility to show more restraint, more responsibility, more control over their emotions. And so, if you want to say, I'm in charge and I'm the man, okay, then take the responsibility with it. Whether it be the kids, whether it be your wife, whatever the case may be. If you feel that somebody's acting out of emotion and out of line and irresponsible, disrespectful, that doesn't mean you snap and react in the same way. You have to take control and show leadership and responsibility in those extreme circumstances to the best of your ability. As the Prophet says, what? خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ خُلُقًا. That the best of you, imagine this, the best of you. That means in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah ta'ala is looking at us, the one that is the best to his women, your wife, your mother, your daughter, the best of you to your women, those are the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. How often do we think about this? How often do we consider this? That we need to be the absolute best when it comes to our wives. And final hadith that the Prophet when he was describing goodness to the wives, he said, your women are what? Your awan. One of the words that he used is, they are your awan. Now what is the word awan? It means your prisoners. Does that mean we literally put them in prisons? No, of course not. The idea is what? That if you have a home, and there's no authorities, there's nobody else, it's just you and your wife. You have full reign, strength to do whatever you want, to be good or bad or whatever the case may be. That is a huge responsibility. She has left her father's home and now she's in your care. Perhaps the father has passed away or perhaps he lives in another country. You have authority in this situation. Take that seriously and recognize the weight of that. And so it's very important that we realize just how vulnerable our sisters are when they are in our care. And because of that, we should feel a tremendous amount of responsibility to do our absolute best so that we can be the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are not weak and hypersensitive and always blaming others and passing off responsibility. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who stand up as men and act with responsibility and as caretakers and providers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who do not fall into addiction as our deen prevents us from falling into addiction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are not emotional predators, duplicitous liars who take advantage and try to lure women in based on trying to act like their fantasy and then switch on them and then abuse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are exactly like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who can do our best to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had all these beautiful characteristics that if we embody them, then inshallah ta'ala we'll avoid these levels of abuse. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.